This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Well, I gave our Twitter handles out just a little while ago. You've got those. So, let's say you want to check out the Accessible Media Inc. Facebook page. Well, you can do that. Like it. Lots of great content there to read up on, to listen to. So do check out the Accessible Media Facebook page. Also, feedback at AMI.ca if you may have a question for Greg, David, or any of the gang over there in communications and marketing about AMI TV, about AMI Tele, or AMI Audio. Feedback at AMI.ca. 1-866-509-4545. 1-866-509-4545. The number if you want to leave us a message. Haven't heard anyone lately. My goodness. New year. Want some of those nice voices that we have out there in the audience checking in, leaving us a message. If you wouldn't mind, do so. Please give us permission to use your message on air if you don't mind, if we have time to do so. And also mention that it's for Kelly and Company. Rabia Muth and Kelly McDonald, we are the hosts of Kelly and Company. Would like to bring in at this time, as we do on a Wednesday, to talk a little health headlines at the top of the show, Jeff Ryman, our other co-producer on the program.
I'm Jeff Ryman with The Health Report. I bring you the latest studies, advice, and health headlines from major newspapers, magazines, and the Canadian press.
So on the break, of course, when Jeff joined us, we got into a talk about his new toy, the new smoker that he's purchased. Folks, you guys know that he is Mr. Barbecue East of Toronto and Mr. Smoke King East of Toronto. Haven't put it together yet, but already browsing through the stuff that you're going to buy. You mentioned ribs there, Jeffy. Are you going to freeze those until you get the smoker together? Or are those just going to be gone on the barbecue?
No, those are waiting for the smoker. Yeah, so typically I barbecue year-round. But when it comes to the smoker, the cold temperatures could have a big effect on what temperature your smoker is actually running at. So I usually leave that for the spring, the summer, and into the fall, just not in the winter. So yeah, still need to build that. Pretty excited about that. I'm already starting to stockpile the meat into the freezer downstairs. So yeah, getting pretty excited about it.
Now, Rum, we were discussing the fact that this thing's gigantic that he's got. Mm-hmm. You were like totally blown away by the size of like turkeys. He could put two of them in this thing.
Two 20-pound turkeys, not just any turkeys.
Well, we made the connection, Rum, about the family, right? About how many people Jeff is probably going to... Exactly, that's correct. And how many people are going to be coming through the summer, Jeff? Do you expect that smoker like just worked right into the ground?
Yeah, you know what? I intend to use it quite a bit. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I have a true passion for is barbecuing and, you know, smoking meats. And if you ask Erin, my fiance, she'll probably tell you that I've been watching so many YouTube videos on how to do things perfectly, like get the good ribs, perfect ribs and brisket and pulled pork. And, you know, I've already done all that stuff, but I want to like perfect it to like, you know, pitmaster style food. And I think I've done a pretty good job in the past, but definitely there's always room for an improvement. So, you know, I'm super passionate about it. And in our neck of the woods here in Ontario, it's been like minus 30 the last couple of days. So, you know, I still think we got a ways to go before we actually get to that outdoor smoking season, if you will. So I'm just sort of just waiting. Not even patiently. I'm very impatient. I want to start right now. But yeah, in the summer, it'll probably be on every single weekend.
Which all is, about the which is quality good. Of meat, right, Rum?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's just talking about all these things that usually you're trying to find the best restaurants with them, but now we can just go to Jeff's house. I'm so excited.
Restaurant Ryman.
Right.
I like that. Yeah. So it's perfect. You guys could come here. I'll feed you. And then there's a brewery across the street. We can go and have a couple of beers.
Oh, I'll eat too much of your smoke stuff. I won't be able to move.
Bring the brewery to us.
Yeah, exactly. Good idea. Could you stretch that hose across the street? All right. Those six hoses with the different types, please. Where are we starting?
I want to start with something. I mean, we've talked about COVID a lot. And for the most part, I'd say the majority, probably like 95% of things that we talk about sort of have a negative context onto it. I kind of want to bring something maybe with a little more positivity. I'm going to throw a question mark at the end of that, because we really don't know how things are really going to pan out. You know, it was just probably a couple weeks, maybe a month or so ago, where we thought that we were somewhat in the clear. Like, looking back into November, we were doing so well. People were getting their vaccines. It looks like numbers were going down. And then, boom, this Omicron variant came in and, reshut down a lot of different things for us here in Canada. But there was an article that I was able to find on healthline.com. And now this comes from the United States, who's also going through a huge surge, just like the rest of the world, of the Omicron variant. But there is some hope, and it's titled, "Is the End Near? Experts say COVID-19 pandemic could ease within a few months." And I really hope these so-called experts know what they're talking about, because this is something that I think a lot of people have been asking for quite some time. When is this thing going to end? So hopefully maybe it's going to ease in a couple of months. And here's why, because there are predictions that this new variant, Omicron, will surge and peak specifically in the United States, and I've heard the exact same thing for Canada in most parts, by mid to late January. And some experts note that cases have declined significantly in South Africa, where the variant was first reported in late November. So I guess that kind of points to positivity in this, where things could potentially start to come back down. But to get from a pandemic to endemic, the population level of immunity has to rise to herd immunity. That's what Dr. William Schaffner, a professor of medicine at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee and medical director of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, told Healthline.com. The more contagious the virus, the higher level of herd immunity you need to tamp down until it just sort of smolders away. So I think we sort of heard this in the past as well with the herd immunity thing, and obviously getting people vaccinated and getting those antibodies up. And Omicron, it's spreading so rapidly and so widely that it's conceivable that enough people will have some degree of immunity via vaccination or past infection. And if we don't have a new variant that just magically pops up, kind of like Omicron did, then we could have some level of endemic by early 2022. That's what Schaffner is saying. So the expert is saying potentially, you know, in the first quarter of this year, things might start to die down a little bit more. COVID-19 will likely become an endemic disease, said Erica Sulsky, an infection control and hospital epidemiologist based in Toronto. So they actually got a Canadian perspective on this as well in this article. If a disease does not become endemic, the only other scenario is for the disease to be eliminated. With all that is occurring in the current pandemic, it is evident that SARS, or this COVID variant, is excellent at human-to-human transmission, cannot be seized in transmission with any of the other current public health measures, and will continue to circulate likely indefinitely. That's what Suski also told Healthline.com. So it looks like there's going to be that herd immunity. And like I mentioned, between vaccines and prior infections, it looks like we're probably going to spike, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. You know, take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, you don't want to get it, but that herd immunity should at least maybe come into play in the coming months. So I just wanted to put that out there, because we've been talking about this for too long now. I think people are getting really antsy, really fed up, wondering what's going on, when is it going to end? And it looks like we might be able to peak at this in the next couple of weeks. And then hopefully it goes back down to, I guess, levels that we saw towards the end of the summer, which were pretty good, and things were opening up pretty much to the fullest extent. We, you know, if you look back I know baseball games and hockey games and football games are pretty much running at full capacity right across the country. So, yeah, hopefully in a couple of months, that's what we can get back to.
And as you mentioned, and Brock has mentioned on the program, we talk about sports in that sense. One of the litmus tests, they've had to adjust. They've had to make the exception that we have to hire guys to come in on 10-day contracts as people go into COVID protocol. And we're seeing that across the board with businesses and wherever you are in the expectation, they're really hoping to see what they saw in South Africa when, you know, Omicron went through fairly fast and moved on. But all we can do right now is hope the best for everybody, the best of with the challenge that it gives us. But I also think, Jeff and Rum, I think we're very, I don't want to say naive. I think we're all very aware that that would be wonderful before maybe next September or July or maybe next January, another strain comes through.
Yeah, because we're already at the point where when we were feeling hopeful as a collective, and then, all the different variants came through, Delta came through, that was pretty scary. But here in North America, I think Omicron just blew our minds in terms of like how quickly it spread and how people who hadn't tested positive or maybe thought, you know, we were on the rise coming out of the pandemic, everyone was just kind of in shock to think, oh gosh, we're going back into it. Yeah. So, again, Jeffy, like you're saying, fingers crossed, let's know that there is going to be light at the end of the tunnel, whatever that light may look like afterwards. But it's still, we're just kind of all going to be a little bit more skeptical this time around, thinking, okay, but things do happen. Yeah. New variants are coming, etc.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, and I'll speak for myself, and probably a lot of people were in the same boat as me. It's that we thought that we were pretty much past this, like in the fall, like you said, and then this new variant came up out of nowhere and it spread even faster than we've ever seen before. So I think that sort of it is going to stick with people. You know, next time the numbers start to go down and we think we're out of it, I think people are going to be pretty precautious and more cautious about, opening things up and going back to life, you know, prior to COVID. So it's a good point. And guys, I sort of want to pivot to the next article here because there is obviously a tie-in because it has to do with COVID. But this was passed on to me from Jim Crisco from Alberta, and it has to do with Calgary. And it's really interesting. I've seen this happen before, and I've seen studies like this, but I don't think people realize how broad this is I didn't even think about it before a whole lot. It has to do with monitoring wastewater that provides the most accurate look at COVID-19 infections. Yes, it's kind of disgusting, but a lot of cities, a lot of provinces are doing this where they'll actually sample the wastewater. So the stuff you flush down your toilet, down your sink, they'll take that and you can get a pretty accurate look at the COVID-19 infection rates. I know there was a study out of Boston the other day that was showing that things are starting to plateau and maybe take a downhill turn, in terms of infection rates. The same thing I saw today on Twitter about Toronto, and obviously a lot of places around the country are doing this, but who would have thought that, you know, you'd be essentially testing for COVID through wastewater? It's just so unique and good on them for, you know, getting down and dirty, if you will.
Yeah, very much so. Well, I'd heard this even last year, maybe last summer, that because of course everything was being thought of and everything was being explored. So interesting, Jeffy. Thanks for rounding us off on this segment of health and lifestyle, analyzing stuff we don't want to analyze. Anyway, pal, we'll see you tomorrow for What in the World. Jeff Ryman joining us as he does on Wednesdays to talk health headlines here on the program. We'll take a break and we've got a very different version of the Golden Globes that took place this year. Greg David, he'll be in a moment to discuss it with us.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.